From London, BBC Caribbean Report. Trinidad's foreign minister rejects suggestions that CARICOM is riding on America's coattail in backing the war against Iraq.
And I think this point must be affirmed. We have not taken a United States position on this matter. We have taken a United Nations position.
And we have reports from Suriname, Haiti, the Dominican Republic, and Trinidad on the impact of the war in the Gulf. I'm Hugh Crosskill, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. The Muslim Association of Suriname will lead a demonstration in Paramaribo tomorrow in protest against the bombing of Iraq. In a letter to the country's interim president this week, the Muslims urged the government to speak out against the U.S. and allied forces' actions in the Gulf. We have this report from Chandra Van Bimendijk in Paramaribo.
This concern is shared by the Suriname government, which issued a statement after the outbreak of the war, calling upon the parties involved to solve matters through consultation rather than destroying human lives. According to the Muslims here, the war serves to secure the huge U.S. economic and financial interest in the Gulf region, and also called it a superficial pretext for testing new weapons, which it says the United States has always done on colored people. Although it does not support the invasion of Kuwait, the Muslim Association says this does not justify the cruel war against Iraq and the genocide of the Iraqi people. Immediately after the outbreak of the war, media coverage here was strongly dominated by U.S. sources, with day and night live reports from CNN. But this was reduced shortly after as local television and newspapers rejected the U.S. perception that this war is for the liberation of Kuwait. All week, the media have been given special attention to the historic backgrounds of colonial interference in the Gulf region, the balance of military power, and the question of the occupied Arabic territories in relation to Israel-U.S. alliance. As a result, public opinion in Suriname is shifting from a pro-U.S. standpoint. To what extent will be seen tomorrow when the Muslim Association, representing a quarter of the population here, leads a protest march in the capital city to the U.S. Embassy. Chandra van Binnendijk in Paramaribo for the BBC Caribbean Report.
The signing of an agreement between the Dominican Republic and the International Monetary Fund could be delayed because of the war. At the end of last year, President Joaquin Balaguer said his government was negotiating an agreement with the fund. But as Jean-Michel Carrois reports from Santo Domingo, a letter of intention is yet to be signed.
According to an official source, the changing economic environment due to the war makes forecasts very difficult. The authorities hope that an agreement with the IMF will reopen the doors of international credit, while the Dominican Republic has accumulated a foreign debt of more than $4 billion. Mexico and Venezuela have guaranteed the supply of oil to the Dominican Republic, and steps have been taken to reduce the consumption of petroleum products. One of the consequences has been longer power cuts in recent days. Tourism and free zones have already been affected by the conflict and the slowdown of the U.S. economy. Meanwhile, hundreds of Dominicans told the American embassy that they are willing to join U.S. forces in the Gulf. Some 3,000 Dominicans resident in the United States have been sent to the Gulf as part of the U.S. troops. Jean-Michel Carrois for the BBC Caribbean Report in Santo Domingo.
Since the outbreak of the war in the Gulf, radio call-in programs in Haiti have been getting fewer callers interested in the fate of Roger Lafontaine, who is now in jail following his coup attempt. Greater interest is apparently being expressed in the possible outcome of the war. We have this report from Michel Montat in Port-au-Prince.
The first 3 days of the war, while Port-au-Prince was still under curfew after the failed coup d'etat of Roger Lafontaine, one could hear heated debates all night about the Gulf War in several neighborhoods. The sympathy of the young, in particular, seemed to go towards Iraq, who is perceived as the underdog, and Iraq's strikes against the coalition forces are cheered. Others side with the American forces for sentimental reasons. Many young Haitians who live in the New York or Miami area, after all, 500,000 Haitians live in the U.S., are soldiers in that war, and their families here are worried. A very small group seem to side with the Americans for a different reason, what we call the Rambo syndrome. To them, the war is too far away to be anything but a movie with superheroes and super weapons, and they keep on calling the radios to find out about the details of the military affair. But most are concerned about the impact of the war on their everyday lives. The price of fuel, the price of food, to them, the real price of the war is going to be paid by the poorest countries, by the poorest Haitians.
Michel Montal reporting there from the Haitian capital, Port-au-Prince. CARICOM governments are standing firm on their support for the U.S.-led action in the Persian Gulf. The governments have been criticized quite severely in some quarters for backing the U.N. resolutions that led to the use of force. Those critics accuse the governments of merely falling into